the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. After 9 years of hard work, Bruno Dunes State Park, south of Boise, has been officially designated an International Dark Sky Park by Dark Sky International. This very rare certification means the park's two telescopes and the landscape around it can take advantage of very dark night conditions to see far into space. So here to tell us more about this is Greg Harmon. He is a park ranger at Bruno Dunes State Park. Hi, Greg.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so pleased to have you here with us. So, Greg, for folks who have not been there, where is Bruno Dunes State Park?
Yeah, so Bruno Dunes, it's about 60 miles southeast of Boise. About 20 minutes from Mountain Home is the nearest large town. We're off of Highway 78, not too far off of the 84, so it's very easy to get to, but yet it's kind of tucked away in this kind of area that there's really not much else there, which is what you know we can attribute the dark skies to.
So describe the landscape at Bruno Dunes.
Yeah, so we're next to the Snake River. We're in what's called the Eagle Cove Basin. And as the name implies, there is a lot of sand here, and it was remnants from when the Snake River used to come through this area. And so a lot of sand, a lot of sagebrush. We get a lot of antelope and different animals coming through. Fairly flat other than a very large sand dune.
So why was it important to get this designation?
Yeah, so we've had, you know, the public observatory was started back in 1998 with the Boise Astronomical Society. And over the years, even, you know, just within the first 10, 15 years of the observatory starting, we were starting to notice that there was increased light pollution from population in Mountain Home and other places. And so we wanted to take it upon ourselves to do something about that, to preserve our night skies because of such a special place that we have here.
So when did the process start to actually make this a dark sky park?
Yeah, so I know it started in 2015. I don't know the details of specifically who started it. I've been with the park since 2009 as a seasonal employee. And so I know it started with a nomination letter from the mayor of Stanley. You know, of course, in that area, there is a dark sky reserve. And so that's what got the ball rolling. And we started changing out the lighting and then going from there, starting the process.
So talk a little bit more about the process, because you mentioned changing the lighting. So what kinds of things did you need to do to actually get to this point so you could get this designation?
Right. So all the lighting throughout the park has either been retrofitted or replaced with dark sky compliant lighting. This is downshaded lighting. Oftentimes it's kind of a warmer or amber light. Of course, in our observatory area, we even take it a step further and we have the red lighting, so it's as dark as possible. And so that was the first step, was changing out the lighting throughout the park. Also support, not just from, of course, our park manager, our director, Susan Buxton, but also the Boise Astronomical Society. We had some professors from Boise State University write support letters to get things started. The city of Mountain Home, we had a support letter from Mayor Richard Sykes that going forward, they're going to be changing lighting to comply, you know, with dark sky lighting. Our local airport, all these types of things, of people getting on board, because it's more than just people here at the park, but it's the whole community. It's the surrounding areas that are all a part of this process.
In your opinion, why was it important to get this certification?
Yeah, so having this certification, and I've even noticed just in the last week or so that all the attention that is being brought to this, you know, this whole thing is preserving our night skies. A lot of people don't realize the effect that light pollution is having on so many different things, not just us as humans, and, you know, sleep cycles and things like that, but also animal life, plant life. And we're quickly losing a natural resource that we have had for thousands and thousands of years. And light pollution has increased tremendously in just the past 60, 70 years. And so to be able to preserve that for generations to come, that's why it's important to us.
So you mentioned Stanley having the dark sky reserve in that area. There are not many places in the world that have dark skies. So I would think this is a pretty rare distinction.
It is. So there's dark sky reserves, and then specifically there are also dark sky parks, which is what we fall mm-hmm. under. The reserve is kind of the communities and then that whole surrounding area. But for the park, one emphasis for the state park is being able to have access for people to come to a place where they can enjoy the night sky, whether they're camping or coming to our observatory programs, but also that we educate the public. Every weekend, we're always telling people, you know, explaining what light pollution is and telling people how we can have an impact and a change on our night sky.
Do you have to try and keep things dark, like all around the park, in order to maintain this certification? Like, I mean, you know, at nighttime?
Yes. So within the park, we use, it's called a sky quality meter, and it actually takes readings of how dark the sky is. And we have several points throughout the park, and we've been doing this for years. We take meter readings to show that we're at a certain level of darkness to be able to maintain this. And so going forward, even to maintain that certification, we'll continue to take those readings as well.
And what is the, how has the public reacted to this? I mean, I'm assuming you have to have support. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, you had city officials, you know, county officials, but I would think this has to be a buy-in pretty much from everyone.
Yes, actually, it's a lot of support. Individuals, people that have been, you know, coming to the park for years, who have enjoyed coming to the observatory. We have, of course, tremendous support from the Boise Astronomical Society, and everybody has just been extremely supportive of this whole process. And I think it also is just bringing a lot of awareness and attention. When people hear about it, they're like, yeah, we want to, let's do what we can to help and be a part of that.
Why is maintaining this and keeping this night sky park so important? I mean, I know you mentioned how we have seen so much light pollution over the years, but to you, what is the main reason to ensure that you continue to have this space?
Yeah, so the night sky, I mean, it really is something that culturally that we have enjoyed, humans have enjoyed for thousands and thousands of years. And it's something that, you know, we tell stories, we pass these things down to our children and our grandchildren. And it's something that can easily be lost with technology and just the fast pace of how things are going today, that we're looking at screens, we're looking at things that are, you know, constantly moving. To be able to just go outside and just look up at the dark sky, just kind of, it gives you a whole sense of wonder and awe, kind of puts to a perspective and to our place in the universe, and really helps us to just appreciate nature, to appreciate the outdoors in a way that that nothing else can, in my opinion.
Well, so well put. I want to thank you so much for taking time today to talk to us about this.
Yeah, you're welcome. Very glad.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.